From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We have got a great show for you today. Actor John Leguizamo joins us to play our quiz later on. But first, we have a bone to pick with Rahm Emanuel. His mayoral campaign here in Chicago announced that anybody who buys a particular package of Rahmobilia, if you will, gets entered into a lottery, and the winner gets Rahm's voice on their home answering machine. All right, well, where have we heard that before? What a brilliant idea. Hey, you know, if you want to settle for second best, go for it. But listen, we happen to have a sample message that Rahm has recorded for someone's answering machine. Here it is.
This is Rahm Emanuel. I wanted to let you know that there's been a for the opportunity, and you for your confidence.
That's terrible, too, Peter, because people, if you actually ran that message, people would start leaving their message and then stop. And
I know. Well, if you'd prefer one of Carl's messages, and we bleep out nothing, give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sunil from Towson, Maryland.
Hey, Sunil, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. What do you do there in Towson? That's near the Washington area, is it not?
Yeah, it's a suburb of Baltimore. I'm in my surgery residency, so I'm a surgery resident.
Oh, wow. I hear they really work you guys hard. You never get any sleep.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. It's like, oh, here's a person who's inexperienced. We'll have them operating in life and death situations. I know. Let's keep him up all night.
That's right.
American medicine. There you go. Sunil, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to the man behind the Too Beautiful to Live podcast, Mr. Luke Burbank.
Hiya, Sunil.
Hi, Luke. How are you?
Good.
Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, Sunil.
And finally, a writer for Boston Globe magazine and the author of the book Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce, right here.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Sunil.
Sunil, you're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. You ready to go?
You bet.
All right, here's your first quote.
Today is Valentine's Day. But I don't know if this is the card that America was hoping to get from the administration.
That was New Jersey Republican Representative Scott Garrett. He was talking about a big document released by the White House on Monday. What was it?
The budget?
Yeah, indeed. The budget. Very good. It's an annual bit of political theater. The president, whoever it is, releases a budget. The opposition, whoever that is, denounces it, and it never passes. This year, though, President Obama tried to liven it up a little by being carried into his press conference in an enormous egg held aloft by half-naked bearers. And the Republicans were like, not only is your budget proposal dead on arrival, but you're just ripping off Madonna.
How much is $3.7 trillion?
Is it just the numbers?
Because I have no clue what that really means.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things they always try to use to try to help us wrap our mind around big numbers of any type is like, it would go to the moon and back 7 times. And I think that's another thing I don't understand.
How far is it to the moon?
Like, right. I've never been to the moon.
Well,
it's
the moon.
Another abstract idea that
yeah.
doesn't help me.
Anyway, so the budget proposal came out, and then things, as they always do, began to get really dumb. A Democrat in the House said, okay, you want to save money? Then the military should stop spending money to sponsor NASCAR. This is true. She made that proposal. And that made the last person in the South who still liked Democrats go, all right, I give up. I hate them too. Fine. And Republican Daryl Issa decided to go after specific scientific studies because they sound funny. That's an annual tradition. He started with a study of, quote, the impact of yoga on hot flashes in menopausal women.
He clearly doesn't live with a menopausal woman.
I was about
woman.
To say. It's funny until the crowd of menopausal women comes to your office and says, what did you do with our yoga?
And if that happens, not only will he turn around on that issue, he's liable to turn around on gun control, too.
And we have to say this, of course, one of the things the Republicans want to do is they want to end all funding for public broadcasting.
What?
It's true. But here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. The guys who cut the funding, they do not listen to us, right? So we'll just make up some shows and say we're canceling them to make them happy. So we've got this all set. So we've got someone they trust to make the announcement. Go ahead, Carl.
NPR is sad to announce these programming changes. While we'll continue airing Morning Edition, we will no longer produce Afternoon Edition or Swimsuit Edition. Also cancel This Anti-American Life. Public Transportation Talk. And Fresh Air with Terry Bradshaw.
All right, very good, Sunil. Here is your next quote.
I'm going to get myself a T-shirt that says, I went there and all I saw was a revolution.
That was a woman talking to School Library Journal about a trip she took where?
Egypt?
Yeah, Egypt. She was in Egypt. Yeah. After the demonstrations in Egypt, Twitter and Facebook have helped spread the movement to other Middle Eastern autocracies like Yemen and Bahrain. We never knew that when a massive uprising in the Middle East would come, it would spread in the same way as Bieber fever. Americans are interested and concerned at the news there. It's so widespread that you can't really understand everything that's happening everywhere. So if you're stuck in a conversation about it, just make it up. Just say, yeah, and I hear the Lebrani people are marching in Shaquille Square. It's very, very moving. Meanwhile, the protests against tyranny spread all the way to a place no one thought where the people would ever rebel against the iron grip of their rulers, Wisconsin. In Madison, tens of thousands of public workers marched in the state capitol to protest a bill that would cripple their union. To keep Republicans from having a quorum to take this vote, every Democratic state senator in Wisconsin has fled, has gone into hiding. The chief of the state police has been dispatched to find them and bring them back. How do you find a Democrat hiding in the Midwest? They captured half of them when Groupon sent out a fake Daily Deal, 2-for-1 tickets to a James Taylor concert. Here is your last quote.
What is leg?
That was somebody or something on his way to a massive win in a special edition of Jeopardy. Who was it?
The computer, Watson.
Watson the supercomputer, yes. We thought there was one place where humans still reigned supreme, game shows. No longer. Why would computers even want to compete on game shows? They can't use the money or dinette sets. This is like one of the best computers ever, and this is what we do with it? Game shows? This is like Superman comes. Here I am, I'm Superman. What do you want me to do? Oh, could you get that thing off that high shelf? Watson went up against former Jeopardy champions Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter, and it was a complete butt-kicking for 1,000. Jennings said that after a while, playing against a plasma screen seemed a lot like playing against a normal Jeopardy contestant. Quote, he said, "It's very smart, very fast, speaks in an uneven monotone, and has never known the touch of a woman." Thank you, Ken.
Am I the only one who found this profoundly depressing for our species to watch unfold this week? It was like Rocky IV if Dolph Lundgren wins. Like, I must break you. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, I kind of broke you, so.
Yeah, but I got...
Have a good Christmas.
I got a little thrill when he got things wrong. Because we get this totally random things wrong.
We're like hanging on to the fact as humans that he got like three questions wrong. One of the big things that Watson got wrong was a question pertained to Chicago, and he actually put down Toronto as the answer in Final Jeopardy. I'll tell you, you need to hide in Chicago when the robots come because they're going to go to Toronto. This is a safe city.
What's weird is none of us humans were actually interested in watching the show, but all the nation's DVRs recorded it anyway. Your DVR was like, look, you watched Glee last week. This is our time. Watson actually is going in a Victory Press tour, and he joins us now. So, Watson, the supercomputer, you've won Jeopardy.
Do you want to play our game and win Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine?
My great-grandfather was a home answering machine. He would have liked that.
So Watson, how do computers celebrate a victory?
We like to solve differential equations, maybe a little word processing. Just kidding. We get wasted.
So what was it like, to defeat the human contestants?
It was great practice for enslaving them.
Did you say enslaving them?
That's just robot jargon. Don't worry about it. Just go about your business and await your orders.
Ladies and gentlemen, Watson the supercomputer. Thank you so much for being with us. Carl, how did Sunil do in our quiz?
Sunil, you had a great game. 3 correct answers, and you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Sunil. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.